Okay.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot. I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive. No big, I feel like Pac. I shoot a shot. I'm coming in hot. Yeah, coming in hot, just like the fajita. I write what I live, my life in the speaker. I'm nice with the flow, just like the demeanor. I'm feeding my fam, I'm feeding the meter. They got the iron while I got the steamer. I bring the fire, but you never seen her. I testify, I don't need a subpoena. They want my soul, better go to Korea. I love my dog just like I'm Peter. Gotta protect them. I made the call, it was just like I'm reffing. I know we left, yeah, now we back together, but I guess that is better now. Ladies are never like, what's happening? I'ma need y'all, quit asking when. Me and my wife gon' have some kids. Right now, we just practicing. Practicing. Teacher said, quit rapping, man. That gon' hurt my average. I said, thank God I ain't average. Yeah. Bright young man, kill the GPA, and the BPM, look we on, so say what you say, cause that's A with Lecrae, from the A train to the A, I'm coming in.
Hot.
Come in.
Hey y'all.
What's going on?
We gotta let out some gunshots from here. Hold on. We got to. A couple of them at least. You know, two. One more. We gotta do one more. There's three of us here. There you go. There we go. We got three shots.
Right. The best show in the Eastern region. No doubt.
Oh,
Point Blank
yeah.
Radio.
y'all don't get Dwayne started, please.
Hey, look, listen, he's just spitting truth. That's all he's doing. He's just spitting the truth.
I'll give him that.
That's right. We the best 2A community radio talk show in the Eastern region, Point Blank Radio. Y'all heard it here first.
That's right. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
There you go.
So what's going on, y'all?
Man,
everything's
good. I've been talking this whole time, and I've been muted this whole time. Ain't that something? I done muted myself. Man.
I'm feeling like, where's Dwayne?
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
And what was crazy is what I was saying, y'all was literally... It was perfect timing. I thought y'all was hearing me this whole time. Phil got it. What's up, Point Blankers? What's good, E? What's good, E? Oh, man. Three shots, y'all. Fire. Yeah, because my man Elliot is on. Yes. And
yes,
he probably said it right. We are. Look it up. We are the... You know, number one online radio show in this 2A community. You know, sponsored by the magazine North Coast. I don't think nobody says.
Hey, yo, listen.
Nobody says North Coast, right?
Recoil magazine. Y'all need to check that out. That's one of the hottest firearm magazines I've ever really read. It's hot. So. Recoil Mag. Oh yeah, yo, they got some really good stuff in that magazine. Definitely, because listen, we're gonna reach out to them. I'm gonna send them some stuff about Point Blank Radio.
Yeah.
They're gonna do a feature on us. Watch what I tell you. They're gonna do a feature on us.
Yeah,
because they don't get
like
they don't get to hear from you.
That's my first time ever hearing about them. That I mean, I'm gonna look them up though.
Yeah,
the dudes that I follow. They send me little links and stuff like that, because, you know, our special force guys, you know what I'm saying, prior military guys, you know what I mean, and they'll just send me stuff. And then this edition is featuring a young lady who's a firearm competition shooter. So they have her on there, you know what I'm saying, started off like us, you know what I mean, instructing and, you know what I'm saying, just training. And now she's big time, man, competition champion. Last name is Rotten. You know, I thought that was crazy. So I was like, man, I said, you know what, I'm going to shout out Recoil Magazine, you know, because they, I like their issues. I like what they got going on. And they're all about 2A, you feel me? So
I like it.
They, you know, little giveaways, little links to places you can buy, you know, real good equipment. I mean, it's a real good magazine. Point blank is, y'all need to check that out.
Don't give too much away. Don't give too much away. Now that's when you get that sponsorship, Lee. All right?
Right.
Recoil, if you're listening, our 1.9 million viewers, most of, even in China, we don't have that much viewers yet. We're talking everything into existence, Recoil, and everybody else is listening. In our minds and our hearts, we have like 2.5 million listeners across the world. In our minds and our hearts.
Yeah,
don't give too much away.
Hey, we get the 3 million, we giving away stuff.
Right.
You know what? I'm going to put this out here, right? I'm going to say, folks, when we hit, how much, Tia, do you know how much streams we're at so far?
Last time I checked, we were like at 500 and something people.
I like
it.
You know what, folks?
So
when we hit 1,000 streams, I am going to put 2 boxes of ammo, 9mm, 1 box of self-defense, 1 box of training. Y'all add into that? Y'all going to get an ammo pack from Point Blank Radio. And Zach Tactical will be adding
one
box of self-defense.
I throw in a box.
Ooh, there we go. There we go.
That's good right there. Yo,
right.
You know what? I'll throw in two myself.
Wait, y'all can't show me up. I'm going to throw in 2 boxes too then.
Perfect.
Hey, look. I'm going to throw in two boxes and a 6-10 tactical hat. You know what I mean?
Ooh, see, there you go.
I like that.
I'll throw in a Point Blank t-shirt.
Yeah, let's go. I'm going to throw in a Zach Castle t-shirt, some basketball shorts, some stickers, and a hat. No, I'm kidding. Just a t-shirt, y'all. Not all that stuff.
Let's go.
We're not there yet.
Hey, listen, so, I mean, bottom line, y'all, you know what I'm saying? We want to get to 1,000 streams, 1,000 viewers, 1,000 followers.
Streams.
You know what I'm saying? Whatever it is. Yo, and we're gonna give away some free stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we're giving away
and
the
ammo. Everybody wants ammo, right? Right here, right here.
Everybody wants ammo.
Hardest to find ammo. Ammo is our goal right now. So, folks, you got our commitment right here, live on air right now. From Point Blank
Radio.
Hey, but
look, I got something else.
You know what?
I got something right here. This is it right here. We get to 1,000 streams, right? I will put in. Not even ammunition. Kia and Dwayne gonna have ammo. I'm gonna put in a custom 6-10 tactical, 5.56, you know what I'm saying, pistol, AR pistol. Custom. Yeah.
You need to give that to me. You need to give that to me.
You heard it here first. A custom, fully customized, fully loaded. Right? Red dot sister, you know what I'm saying? Iron sights, all that good stuff. SB tactical, all that, everything on it. To our 1,000th person. You know what I'm saying? When we get 1,000 streams, some lucky winner is going to get all of that good stuff from Point Blank.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
I got one better for you, man. I don't think we should do that.
Uh-huh.
I think we should save that for the 5,000 milestone. I think it's only right we give away a high point to the thousands listeners. No? No? Just with me? No? No? All right. Okay. Never mind. All right. So each suggestion is better. The AR pistol.
I got quiet on him, right? You know, I got quiet. he just took away all the excitement of what we were trying to do. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
right.
That's beautiful, E.
Look, Elliot, let me ask you this.
I love it.
So if I'm the if I'm a 1,000th streamer, right? Can I get that AR pistol with the red dot?
Hey, look, listen, and I'm telling you, like, this is gonna be Cerakoted, you know what I'm saying? And a camo, but the regular normal camo style, you know what I'm saying? It's gonna be a different style color.
Let me get my I'm gonna get my daughter to log in.
Oh God,
but,
hey,
but yeah, I'm totally
give it to a 14 year old.
Somebody get what you say?
I said, I'm going to have my daughter log in and give it to a 14-year-old.
I like it, E.
That's
going to
be
so fine. You know what? Instead
so
of my,
t-shirts,
instead of my ammo being,
and a custom AR pistol. Yo, come on. You got to beat that.
Yeah.
There you go.
You know what? Instead of my ammo being the 9mm, I'll switch it up. I'll put in a box of 100 rounds, 5.56.
There you go.
Whichever one I get.
And
come
I'm,
on,
and,
it
and
got
hey,
match, right?
I'll throw in two boxes of that 5.56.
Perfect.
Listen,
I like it.
See,
so folks, you heard it here.
Hey, kid, we need to do a you need to do a post and a flyer of that right there. You feel me?
I got
you know
I'm the flyer. You know I'm the flyer queen. I got you.
100%. 100%. Let's get it.
I love it. So folks, look forward. But
yeah.
You have to. We're gonna have terms and conditions, y'all. That means you're gonna have to follow Zach Cassidy. You're gonna have to follow Point Blank. You're gonna have to follow 610 Tactical. You're gonna have to follow us on our social media. You can't just say how much I'm stream and get a free gun and ammo. No, you gotta show us that the stuff that we're bringing to the table is definitely helping you in your day out. So look forward to that flyer.
That's
gonna be on all of our social media platform. You know. Kid of Fire Queen, she's gonna put that out, and we're gonna share that mouse all on Facebook group.
I'm excited, man. You know what I'm saying? Cause, you know, stuff like that, like, that's changing right there. People want free stuff. You feel me?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, you know, I may do something like that for my YouTube channel, yo. I like that. But I'm giving away a high point. I'm not giving away. giving away a high point.
Hey, look. Somebody gonna throw that thing right back at you.
It's a weapon. The high point is a weapon because it's heavy.
Right.
You can hit somebody and hurt them.
that thing
is like you throw that at somebody. It's like your car hitting a deer. It's gonna cause a whole lot more damage than. Then you know what I'm saying? That thing hideous, man. Oh my gosh! But like I said, one of the most accurate weapons I've ever shot.
So listen, Elliot. I'm still looking at this Recoil magazine, right, online, and it's like you get 50 free pack of targets for AR drills, handgun drills, 50 targets. I mean, you can put off as many as you like. I like this.
Yeah, I told you. Yo, Recoil magazine. Y'all hit us up, baby. I'm telling you, that's the magazine right there. You know what I'm saying?
I'm about to subscribe. I like it. Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Cool.
I'm telling you. We need to do a plug with them every week until they give us a spot. Yo, they're gonna do an article on Point Blank Radio. Like, yo, let's check these guys out. They always talking about us. Yeah, we call magazine.
But you know, we should definitely shout out you guys, different, you know, firearms, related, you know, businesses and stuff like that,
you know,
just to kind of let people
know
what's
like,
out
like,
there.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Cause I'm going to tell you, I received my package from Inner Peace. Man, yo, straight love it.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I love my package, too.
The patch, yo,
that patch was phenomenal.
I mean, I you know what I'm saying? I already put the sticker on the truck. You feel what I'm saying? So, like, 100%. You feel me? Like, yeah, I understand. You know what I mean? It's about, you know, it's really support of women. You know what I mean? But, you know, I was raised by a woman. You feel me? I married a woman. So, you know what I'm saying? Beautiful black women. So, yeah, I'm 100% support. You feel me?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
we do. And Inner Peace is classy, so we keep it classy. As you can see from the products you receive, they're classy.
That's how I deal. Hey, look, I might wear that patch the next time I go to the field.
Oh,
I know, that's right. That's right. Good deal. Good
deal. Like, yo, this is support of my sisters right here.
Yeah.
Good deal.
No, I was excited when we got that as well, too, kid. Yeah. No, I'm not going to lie. I was really excited. Like, I was like, oh, my God. This is like, get my parents a minute. I think I was a little bit too excited.
When I came,
we definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, my wife saw. She was like, "Yo, what is that?" I was like, "Yo, it's a young lady that was on the show. She sent us some free stuff. You know what I'm saying?" So you know, wifey took the T-shirt. I knew she was gonna do that, so she took the T-shirt, and I was like, "Yo, you can't have." I said, "You can't have the patch of the stickers then. I'll let you ride with the T-shirt." She was like, "Nah, I like this." I said, "Yo, check them out.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Shout out to Inner Peace." Yes, sir.
Yes. Inner Peace. We're gonna give a gunshot and a hand clap.
Yes.
No doubt.
Yes.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you someone else. I feel like we need to shout. You know, he was on a couple weeks ago. Yo, my man Cap be dropping knowledge every time. Yo, the captain's log. I don't know if y'all be paying attention to that.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
My man. Cap be dropping knowledge, man. I love him. Yo, Cap, if you listening, bro, listen. Yo, keep doing what you're doing, partner. Because I got friends listening to you now. You feel me? Like, that good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
I want y'all to know that I discovered Cap, you know, back in my days. I discovered him. He was at a bar, lonely, hunched over. And I was like, my brother, what's going on now? Cap, if you're listening, I think he's now finishing up his, he does his Facebook live stream for the BGI group every... What's today? Today's Wednesday. Every Monday, Wednesday, Sunday, and then Friday as well. So he's finishing up his live. So, Kat, if you're listening, you hear us on Repeat, man, we definitely appreciate what you're doing, what you've done, and the direction you're heading, and, you know, what you're doing for the black community, the black Second Amendment community. Definitely much appreciated. You're paving the way for a lot of up-and-coming responsible gun owners. So definitely appreciate
Absolutely.
You. We need more people like him. We need more people like
out.
Joy. I mean, we got the three of us, but I don't want to say we need more people like us because we're one of a kind. But we definitely need more people. And it's not just about – not a lot of times, you know, when we talk to our black community, a lot of times all they hear is, I like to shoot. And then that translate into, I want to kill. All they hear is gun talk. They don't hear the responsible part. They don't hear how where yes, does my son own a handgun or a rifle? Yes. But he can responsibly take care of it. You know, he don't run around the house pointing it at people. You know, they don't hear that part. Even when we're telling them that part, they don't hear it. So I think, you know, and it all starts with an open mind. You know, you may not be a gun person. You may not be a gun lover. But we can still have
his
a conversation.
His last vlog, one of his messages that he gave about, you know what I'm saying, our inherent responsibility to defend our family, you know what I'm saying, that thing rang in my spirit
too.
For, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it rang in my spirit for, like, the entire week. And crazy enough, I had a situation, and Kia knows about this situation, with my oldest son, you know what I mean. You know, he kind of gave me that, you know, your dad, you're my dad, you're supposed to defend me. And, you know, and it was a whole lot of the situation. I'm not going to put all this business out there. You know what I'm saying? But I had to do the responsible thing and educate him on the, you know what I'm saying, the repercussion of the decision he wanted, you know, when it comes to owning a firearm. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and of course, you know what I'm saying, I gifted him one of mine, but not, you know, after I gave him a very long, long class on the responsibility, you know what I'm saying, of this thing. This is not a toy. Is how my pitch started. You feel me? So, but it was, you know, it was Cap's message. Even though I already agreed with it and knew it, it was Cap's message in the back of my mind ringing while I was talking to my son. Like, this is my responsibility. You know, he's 20-something years old. He doesn't live with me, but it's still my responsibility to help prepare him should he have to defend himself. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Big and mind you, I was saying, don't do it. Don't do it, Elliot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, he concerns me. But, again, I can't sit up here and honestly be giving away, you know, not giveaway, but signing off on certificates of people that take my class and I don't know them, but yet I know my son and I'm not willing to do that for him. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like, right.
Yeah, I know my son's flaws. I know his issues, but that doesn't mean he can't be taught. You feel what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Come on, y'all. You both. We have people that show up in our class. We don't really know much about them, other than they want a gun.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying?
That's true.
Feel, you know what I mean? And we're willing to do it for them, and they paying. But I just couldn't see myself not doing it for him. And this is my boy. You feel me? So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because I was with you the first year, like, nah, I ain't doing that. Nah, I ain't giving him nah. And I was like, man, nah, I'm going to do it, but I got to educate my boy. You know what I'm saying? And then I got to keep educating. Matter of fact, Kia, I told him that I was going to send him to you because he in Raleigh. So,
so
look for that.
Send him my way.
Yeah, Elliot.
You know, I got him.
Yeah, look.
Send him my way.
It
took a village to raise my kids. If my kid was in Virginia, I'd be sending her to you. So, you know, hey,
no doubt.
Y'all, we got to take a village to raise to protect our kids. So definitely send him my way.
No doubt. Good deal.
Yeah, that's
good
what I'm talking about,
deal.
Folks. Y'all hear that? That's one community right there, y'all. We all instructors, but we're not too proud to say, yo, I can't do it for you. Not saying you can't do it, E, but, you know, you're like, you know what? I know the right person I can send you to get that message across. So that's beautiful. And I think that's, you know, it's a conversation, man. We need a lot more of that in our community. We definitely need a lot more of that in our community. The other stuff is too toxic. And when you add that toxic noise, the firearms, you know, we have a whole outside group of people looking in on us. And, you know, they're scrutinizing every little thing we do. So that's beautiful right there. Now, I love it. I love it. Folks, call us in. Give us a call, y'all. Give us a call, 845-241-9979. I would love to hear what was y'all's favorite Captain Rod, if y'all have been listening to the BGI stuff. And also, too, I would like to know what have you done this week to take the step in, I guess, creating a self-defense plan. So we talk about it, call in, call out. What have you done this week? Give us a call again, 845-241-9979. Okay, look like we got our first caller. You want to go ahead and
Grab
it?
Let's see what our caller's talking about. Welcome to Point Blank Radio.
Good conversation. In your training, do you put the emphasis on people that's going to start concealed carrying? One, on them keeping abreast of legislation and policies and regulations, and also insurance that go along with your ability to conceal carry. How important are those?
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Kia. I was going to say, for my classes, I talk to them about, you know, I tell them all the time, hey, would you drive your car without insurance? You know, so,
right.
You know, it's just a big responsibility carrying your firearm around. And I also, once I get my students, they know, once a student always attached to me, so I'll send them anything that's any kind of big changes in the laws, and things like that, I will send them links and say, hey, you guys hear about this? You guys know about that? Or they know they can always reach out to me and say, hey, this right here, I read this. What does this mean? Or what does this mean for us? And things like that. So, you know, I constantly drill it to them, stay abreast, but I also will send a message out to them if it's something really big.
That's definitely huge, Kia. I love that. Let me steal some of that. For me, what we do is at Tactical, all of my classes, especially specifically my concealed carry, we spend like the first hour and a half. We're not even talking about the firearm. We deep dive, dig in, bring a strong focus on the law. You know, it's easy. I definitely emphasize with my students, it's easy to go to a gun store and say, hey, let me get that gun, that ammo, that holster. You put it on you and you go outside, pull the trigger, bang. But you have to know, anybody can do that. Right, but you have to know the law. The law is what helps keep you out of jail,
the law also helps you stay out of the hospital. But sometimes if we don't know the law, we're going to go ahead and think we don't have to avoid, you know, and now we get ourselves in a situation with someone that really won't hesitate on pulling that trigger on you. You know, so here at that tactical, we definitely focus heavy on, you know, teaching our students the law, whether it's within your state or within a neighboring state. But when you're traveling, we teach them about reciprocity. So, and like Tia said, once my students get attached, we stay in the loop with them throughout their firearm journey. What about you, E? What's your take on that?
Yeah,
well,
100%.
That's great.
You know, yeah, stick to the tactical. Nope. You know, we focus on all of those areas as well, because it's what we don't want. We don't want vigilantes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We don't want people getting out there because now they feel like a superhero because they have a firearm and not understand the responsibility of that. You know what I mean? So it has to be a strong emphasis. You know, yeah, I love to joke around and have a good time, but when it comes to your livelihood, this situation, like I said with my son, I felt the responsibility to sit him down and say, listen, here's this gift, but this is not a toy, son. You feel what I'm saying? I know he's 24, but here's the rules. North Carolina, me being certified in North Carolina to be a firearms instructor, this is what you can expect if you go too far. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and being as real as possible with individuals about the law. Yes, you're probably going to get arrested. Without insurance, mm-hmm. you have a there's a lesser chance that you're going to get, you know, that you're going to be able to go home that night or the night after. But with insurance and you following the rules based on the law, you have a better chance of going home. So those things have to be emphasized, have to be, because we're not, you know what I'm saying, we're just not, this ain't Chuck E. Cheese where we've given out a little fake, you know, and there are instructors doing it. I'm not going to call any names, but we're not doing that, not the three of us, by no means.
Yeah.
Yeah, and insurance is not that expensive either. But I would like to see more clubs get involved in the legislation that's coming down at state levels and also at the federal level. And merely is writing your representative, you know, showing them your displeasure, or you might even be pro, but your displeasure of them basically trying to restrict and take those privileges away from you. Oh, one other question, too, actually, too. Do you sponsor or do you promote family recreation where you have, just like you would if you were going bowling, families can get
absolutely
together and have
absolutely. I know here at Zat Tactical, we actually do classes to where we're actually putting together a family night. I'm going to be partnering with the gentleman we were just talking about, Kat, from the BGI, the Black Guns Initiative group, and we're going to be putting together a family day. You know, that way mm-hmm. you can just come out. No real hard training. Just come on out. We'll shoot maybe those smaller calibers, the 22s or whatever. But it's something to help introduce, you know, firearms as more like a sport or, like I said, recreation. It's not a bad thing, you know, but we're definitely putting together some of those classes. So we're definitely,
absolutely,
all three of us are definitely full advocates of, you know, shooting being a family event.
You know, when I was in school, we used to walk to school with our bolt action carbine over our shoulder, catch the bus, go to school. At the end of school, we'd have a rifle practice. After that, going home. And you can see the difference. Of course, I guess I'm telling my age, but you can see the difference in the attitude compared to today. One last thing. The best, well, an ideal CC, a concealed carry for the female. And I would like for people to look at their Walter PPK and to give you a visual. It's the gun that James Bond used to carry. And I see a lot of women are using these flash bras. You know, the one where you can pull down the bottom of the tab and it comes down underneath their bra. That fits just perfectly in that holster. So think about it. My daughter had a small Glock, and left her car door open, went in the place, and somebody went in there and didn't take nothing out the purse, but took her Glock. And I said, you know, you gotta get you something that you can wear on you. That stuff, keeping guns and purses and so on, that there is the old school.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much for the opportunity, and I really appreciate and enjoy listening to the topic that you're carrying on.
Oh, no, sir, we appreciate you for being a point blanker. Hey, kid, give this gentleman a hand clap for us, please. We appreciate our listeners. Definitely appreciate you for taking time out and, you know, tuning in. Definitely calling. So thank you.
We definitely appreciate
absolutely.
You. Call back anytime.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's a good deal.
We have another caller, Dwayne.
Great question.
We have another caller. Let's do it.
Yes,
let's
we do.
It.
Thank you for calling Point Blank.
Hello, good evening.
Hi. Hi, good evening.
Oh, God, that's the man with a very white voice.
That's
y'all
all
right,
yo. That's all right, baby.
What? The man with a very white voice. Listen to him.
All right.
Good evening.
Yo, well, listen, I can change it up. You want me to come and high pitch my voice up there? I can do it.
No.
How's everybody doing tonight?
We talked you up. We must have talked you up, Cam.
Right. Yeah. You know if you're right. If you say it just right, all right. And if we get that algorithm, I'm right there. Right. Doing tonight.
Yeah,
how's everybody
good,
doing?
Good, man.
We're doing good.
Okay, I was listening a little bit because, you know, I'm on at I was on a little bit earlier doing live, but I was listening to what y'all were saying, and it's funny. I was echoing what y'all were saying right on my live as well, and it was just I think the question was born out of someone talking about they had asked me about the firearm. And they started asking about a bunch of accessories and things of that nature. And this was a new gun owner. So I asked them about, you know, are you prepared to take someone's life? And they said, well, you know, all of a sudden it's like, well, hold on. Why I got to be that serious? I said, so, you know, what exactly are we talking about here? Are you not prepared to defend your life up until and including having to take someone else's? Well, you know, if it really came down to it, and then, you know, they want to tell you how they're going to be John Wick and just shoot you in your big toe when they try to disable the attack, you know. And, so after that conversation, actually, the person actually did not buy a firearm because, like, you know, I mean, telling them, if you can't resign yourself, and I think me and Brother Zach, you know, Dwayne. Brother
nah,
Zach,
it's okay, man. Zach is cool.
Yeah. Me and Brother Zach, you know, we spoke about that earlier, and we talk about it like every time you're stepping out your door, this could be the day. And if you ain't prepared for that, then you should not even be carrying a firearm. Because if you're not, then, you know, what's going to happen? Hesitation, and we all know what happens after that. I think a lot of times, you know, on the live, I was telling them that when you get into firearms, especially if the first few times you get in there, it's just about learning and the range and this, it becomes so, you become so enthralled in it, you forget the fact that you got that gun was to protect yourself and your family. So that is something totally different than, you know, than Zach Tactical or 6'10 telling you, hey, feet shoulder length apart, you know, shoulder width apart, high ready, punch out to the target. Yeah, that sound great until I'm in your living room. And when I'm about to get up on you, there's no more time. You know, you can't read. You can't think back to what 6'10 said. Wait a minute. He said high ready and then punch out, or punch out and high ready. Boop, boop, boop. That's it. It's over. You understand?
Yeah.
So, you know, you're telling them this, that, you know, trying to really put the things in their proper perspectives. The training and the things that you do at the range is great, but the reality of life is we don't read from the script when I catch you in Walmart's parking lot.
No
so,
doubt.
You know, so you have to know that, you know, of course the training that you do, fundamentals, all those things can roll over, but it have a realistic aspect of your firearm what comes along with your mentality that you have to have. And it ain't going to have nothing to do with that paper that you shot at the range. You know, is the, you know, 100%. Guys ain't going, right, guys are not just going to stand there and let you do it. And trust me, if I get close enough, I'm going to take that gun from you, and now it's you. And you have to, and explaining that reality to someone, just letting them know that, hey, it's great. Well, you know, we embracing our rights and we're doing all these things, which is amazing to see our people really embracing. But are you really understanding what you're embracing? Your duty to yourself and your family, it comes with that whole deal about having to take someone's life. Now, you ask the person on a regular, what would you do for your kids or your family? It's whatever it takes. But I asked that person that same thing, and they said, yeah, whatever it takes. But I said, well, hold on. 5 minutes ago, you couldn't even resign yourself to taking someone's life. So you see now where we at? The question is, right, are you willing to do whatever it takes? But you just told me 5 minutes ago that you're not willing to take someone's life. So you're not really willing to do whatever it takes. Oh, you know what?
Right.
Exactly. We have just created hesitation, and now I'm on you. So now what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
See, that's so crazy that you mentioned that, Kat, because, you know, I've been really contemplating, because Kia said something to me a few weeks back about how much knowledge I have. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? Right. Military experience, training, military, special force, you know what I'm saying? And I think about that, and I'm saying to myself, you know what, maybe I need to move into a different aspect of instruction, you know what I'm saying, because, you know, real-life situation, you know, and I've said this to several different people, I know martial artists that don't have firearms or have firearms and, you know what I'm saying, and don't see the importance of being able to defend themselves with a firearm because they have completely and 100% adopted the fact that they are a weapon physically. You feel what I'm saying? And I keep trying to get them to understand, like, that's great, to a certain extent, because what if you come across an Elliot Davis that knows how to keep distance from somebody like you so you can't put your hands on me and I'm able to put rounds on you? You see what I'm saying? So, after Kia said that, I thought to myself, you know what, I really do love giving firearm instruction as far as concealed carry, but I think 610 Tactical needs to move into more of the close quarter, you feel what I'm saying, real-life scenario, like, hey, listen, what are you going to do if somebody's in your house and you don't know how to maneuver, because pressing your weapon out forward, coming around a corner, that weapon going, you know, the threat going to see the weapon first, and he's going to snatch it.
Yep.
And if the weapon is...
And give up your location.
It's too far from the body. Yeah, if the weapon is too far from the body, it's easy to take it away. So, and what I understand about a close quarter engagement, how to, you know what I'm saying, maneuver the butt stop. You feel what I'm saying? To what we call shorten the butt stop. You feel me? How you maneuver through your own home. Could be, you know, detrimental. Yeah, you have the mindset like, yo, I'm gonna do whatever I gotta take, whatever it takes to protect my family. But if you don't know how to turn a corner without giving your position away, you still gonna be, in danger.
I agree. I agree 200%.
Yeah.
I think for me, I always talk about, you know, I always give the disclaimer when I talk, and I'm sure Zach can hear me say it. I ain't that good. So I always say, for me, the biggest advantage you can possibly give yourself over an attacker, you need it. You know, and I have these discussions when people debate about carrying one in the chamber or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And I think it all ties into, like, what you're saying, that whole concept of training realistically, I think has to be something – I think it's actually going to be a lane that is created more because of the influx of new gun owners out there.
Yeah.
You remember, us on a whole, we're looking for body bio. You understand? Because we already do the basic stuff and know the concept of, you know, protecting yourself, creating distance, getting off your mark, all those things like that. We know that. So anything that we're looking for is going to be in that body bio, 6'10", that kind of deal. But the influx of new gun owners, all they want is, listen, man, I just want to be able to protect myself from that guy that's trying to be upside my head at Walmart parking lot. You understand?
Right.
So I think the concept of shooting realistically is going to be a market, especially our community, that is going to be between the new gun owners and even a step further, women. I think that concept should be done more. Obviously, you can base it on the fundamentals and all those things because you can add that stuff in. But I think that the mindset, I think so much happens sometimes when you all, and I'm sure you all see it, when y'all go to the training classes, it becomes this thing where, you know, equal height, equal light. And, you know, you get into all those things, and, yeah, that's great until you come downstairs for that drink of water and somebody in your living room, and then what are we doing
100%.
Then?
100%.
You know,
And that's the thing that, as you know, as a woman, you know, I talk to a lot of women, and we talk about, hey, let's do realistic. We do realistic, you know, shooting. I have a shooting boot camp that's coming up. I have, you know, that we're going to do. We're not going to shoot, you know, perfect legs apart, you know, back straight, head, you know, and, you know, we're just not going to do that. And then with Ms. Joy, with Inner Peace, well, we did a few weeks ago, we did a defensive pistol training. We were in the dirt. We were dirty. We were sweating. It wasn't cute. You know, when we finished, our pictures looked like, I mean, they were horrible because in real life, you're not going to end up pretty. Your hair's going to be messed up. You might break some nails, you know, things like that. And so she had us in the dirt. We were shooting, you know, I mean, we were just laying. She made us lay down, but sometimes we were sleeping. And we had, you know, it was just everything. So it's like more of that, realistic training. I was telling Dwayne and Elliot that the other day. Hey, we can do some real life scenario type stuff because it's like in real life, it's like you said, equal height, equal light means nothing when you're coming down the stairs to get you some water and someone's standing in your kitchen, you know, looking at you like, okay.
You ain't, listen, man, that thing will be so far away from you. You ain't, all you know at that point in time is pull that biscuit out and keep squeezing until that person disappears.
That's right.
You
ain't even working. So you hear
click. Like neutralize the threat. It neutralize the threat and all that other cute jargon that we have in the industry. Yo, you're going to keep, I tell anybody, when that thing happens, you're going to pull that thing and keep pulling until that person disappear. Not even fall. Yeah.
That's what I was trying to tell this brother a couple weeks back, man. He was doing these drills and stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah, but you know what I'm saying? If you cry military, you know, man, when bullets start flying, When that gun goes bang, man, all of that go out the window. You know what I'm saying? And all you're trying to do is just get rounds on target first. You feel me? So, you know, why are we? You know, it's great to drill. Don't get me wrong. It's 100% great to drill. But I'm not going to drill, and this is just the military in me. I'm not going to drill like I'm training for a competition shoot. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm going to drill hiding behind my kitchen door. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? Walking around the house dark, right? Come on. Memorizing my layout, you know, no matter where I am. You know what I'm saying? Whether it be, you know, we on vacation, whatever, trying my best to memorize layouts, trying my best to remember exit plan, emergency exit. And in proximity to where we are, you know, little things like that. Like, I'm training because if it pop off, I already know that, you know, we trying to get out of Dodge. We ain't trying to, you know what I'm saying? This ain't, you know what I mean? Like you said, this ain't John Wick where you picking up weapons as you go. You feel me?
Right.
You're beating every, you know, you're able to get a round on every target. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Like, no.
Right.
You know what I mean? So understanding real-life scenario, like, you know, like that's what I said. I think that I want to move into this aspect of firearm instruction because there are people that don't even understand, you know, having your concealed carry on you, on your person, while you're driving your vehicle takes away time. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, like you know this. You know, somebody asked that same question on the live. They asked me I own a truck, so I'm in the truck all the time, and you'll probably see me post a picture that I have my firearm on me. But I tell them I'm a person, my firearm that's on me is that's my firearm on me. I always keep a firearm in whatever vehicle, and that becomes a firearm for the vehicle. And I do it because two reasons. One, you know, you're always going to hear me say this. I'm not that good. So we want to – I want to have ready access. And, again, the biggest advantage I can have over the criminal element I possibly can. And then, two, God forbid your vehicle disabled or you get in an accident and you get thrown around or you have to leave the vehicle, what happens then? If you're taking your carry gun off to put in the vehicle and you have to get out the vehicle, now you're unarmed. So for me, is just I'm always going to keep one on me because if the fight means I got to leave the vehicle, then what happens then? You know, so
yeah. No doubt, and that's cool. But I know for me, I need to be able to, every time I've had a problem, I've had my weapon on me, and I go to reach, and I'm going to be, okay, can I give my little testimony? I reach for my firearm anytime anything look crazy. I'm just telling the truth.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, it's condition orange. You go from yellow to orange. You go from yellow to orange.
If a car following me too long, I grab my gun. I want to know, you know what I'm saying? That's just me. You know, like Dwayne said, you feel me? So, but every time I've done that and I've had it on me, I have to take my seatbelt off. I got to pull my shirt up. You feel what I'm saying? And what if it was a situation, and I'm thinking about me, again, though I'm trained, I'm still like you. I'm not that good. You feel me?
Right.
So, you know, I've not been in a civilian gunfight, if that makes sense. You feel what I'm saying? So I'm still thinking like, yo, I got to cut down time. I need to have this in my hand. You see what I'm saying? So I actually have mine on a magnet that is visible that anytime I go to turn my key to get out of my car, I'm literally looking right at the gun. So it always is a constant reminder for me. You see what I'm saying? Like, oh, boom, turn the key, or grab a gun, boom, put it on me, boom, turn the key, get out of the vehicle. You see what I'm saying? And that's how I do it. Now, that I just feel like it saves me time. Just like I agree with you on keeping one in the chamber. I'm not good enough to draw and put rounds on target. I ain't that good. You know what I'm saying?
People don't really understand that concept, especially new gun owners. They never, you know, you have to really, like anybody asked that question, I would have that discussion with them. Because that is something that you really need to understand, that what you think is safer is actually a bigger detriment than you actually think. And once you actually explain it to a lot of people, they are there. And to me, it goes back to the old adage: are you willing to do whatever it takes? If you say that, then everything you do after that statement has to fall in line with what it is that you're saying. It can't be I'm doing whatever
100%.
It takes. But you know, one in the chamber, I ain't there yet. What is I ain't there yet? That means you're not doing whatever it takes.
Yeah.
You have your fight on morning.
Something, you got to find your routine. You have to find your routine.
Thanks.
I think we actually have a caller again. Kia.
Oh, but listen, I could be talking with y'all all night, but
man, Cap,
this question might be for you, Cap. So I'm gonna leave you. So I'm gonna leave you live. Okay.
All right. Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, all right. Welcome to Point Blank.
Is it okay if I call back in?
Yes, sir. You can call as many times as you want.
I wanted to add a couple of things. You teach your students and also take it to practice that if you ever engaged in a gunfight, and no matter what occurs, and after you call the authorities, you take your phone out and start making notes of what happened, written notes of what happened. And at the end of those notes, you say, I called authorities. That looks better if you got to go to court. And it's difficult for a prosecutor who's going to be working against you to get around that. Another thing, with your young people, daughters, sons, if they have to always be cognizant of what their surroundings are. I taught my daughter and my grandkids, I say, when you come out of a store, don't go bolting out the store, running to your car. As soon as you step out that door, you look around you, left, right. In some places, you may have to look up because somebody may be on the roof ready to pounce on you.
Right.
Then,
right.
before you go to your car, look at what's around your vehicle. If it's a car parked next to yours and the windows are all frosty and, you know, steamed up, you have to be extremely careful because it may be someone in that vehicle that might try to harm you. If you got your kids with you and a car is on the passenger side, have your kids get in on the driver's side. Don't leave them overexposed to that danger.
Right.
Absolutely. Those are really good, great best practices. Really, really good point. Now, I have a question for you, Concha. You, we actually have on the line with us Kendrick, a.k.a. Cat from BGI, the Black Gun Initiative Group. And, you know, he's doing a lot here in not just Petersburg, but Virginia, you know, when it comes down to educating, you know, the black community around the Second Amendment. Do you have any questions for him? Yeah, I'll put
well,
you on the spot, Cat.
Well, you know, the Second Amendment is one of the most important amendments to the Bill of Rights. I don't know if you guys know how it got there. It got there by way of the anti-Federists. The Federists was kind of like the aristocrats that wanted the Constitution to be the way it was, which really would have been like a top-down rather than a bottom-up. And the anti-Federists said, no, we want these Bill of Rights to be included in the Constitution. They started off with 12, ended up with 10, which number two is the Second Amendment. Second Amendment contains two parts. One, the bearer arms, and two, the militia. And if you have hindsight, I guess they could have put ammunition in there too when they wrote it, because you see all the ridiculous things that's popping up that try to restrict your rights to be able to fulfill the protections of the Second Amendment. But if you're an instructor, make sure you go over that with your class, your students, because many people don't understand that, and you can tell by the questions that is posed to them and the remarks that they make too. But that is very, very precious, that amendment, along with the first, all of them really. But, you know, be sure that you go over those with them early. And also it's great to go over with your young people, too. The earlier, the better. There is material out there that can teach from a very young age.
I agree with that.
I like that.
In my last count, there's over 40 African-American black gun clubs in this country. There's about two or three that's all female, like the Foxy Mamas, and, you know, we shoot, I forget what their name is, and that is a good thing.
Well, I will let you know, sir, that on this radio show right now, you have two members of two high-level gun groups. You have our one-on-one Kia of Inner Peace. And you have, again, the founder, owner, CEO, president, all the other titles I can give him, Cap of BGI. So you have two of the top notch right there. Google them. They're somewhere. You know, you see number one and number two.
Somewhere.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Like I say, too, teach your young people because there's opportunity. Like, for instance, the Olympics. Olympics still have shooting competition, so they may even work their way up through that aspect.
That's funny you bring that up because my son just actually watched the Olympics shooting the other day, and he saw it, and it's actually something that he's interested in, and he's 11. So So that's something that we're gonna I'm gonna introduce to him, you know. And at 11 years old, I would have never been introduced to anything firearm. I couldn't even have a water gun growing up. But no, I love absolutely love the conversation, y'all. I love the fact that we're talking to. When it comes down to it, the deep rooted part of this conversation is comes always tied back to situational awareness and also being prepared and preparing to be prepared, right? And also, you got a one thing I was talking to Cap earlier, and one thing that I've been seeing in a lot of YouTube videos or just stuff on social media is crazy out there in the streets, as the kids would say. I've been seeing the one coin phrase, no one's going to come and save you, right? And that's yeah. such a powerful phrase. And it's also a very sad phrase, very, very sad phrase that in today's day and age, you know, we have a lot of people claiming community, but yet that can still be a powerful phrase and stands true that no one's going to come and save you. And I wanted to kind of throw, you know, just a couple of things out there for y'all that if y'all haven't seen it and kind of get y'all feedback and y'all tell me what do you think, you know, could have been done or, you know, just kind of get y'all's opinion. And Cap, you're more than welcome to stay on. And kind of sure, you as well, you're more than welcome to stay on if y'all want to chime in. And
I would love to stay on, but I got to rock and roll.
Oh, but he got busy stuff, man.
Yeah.
This guy's a busy globetrotter, y'all.
Hey, listen, before he leaves,
let me say this one thing. I heard someone talking about make mention of. Have you thought ever that you would have to shoot to kill someone?
Right.
And that is something that a person has to ponder with themselves.
Right.
And now, let me say this. If you don't feel that you can, well, shooting the wound, knowing what the background is, that's important. Those bullets go through, or you might miss. But if you got a background and you got a distance between your perpetrator and you, you might be able to shoot the wound. But it's very important that you make sure that that bullet's not going to go straying off and hit someone else. But you got to have that conversation with yourself, because believe me, it's something that's going to stick with you for the rest of your life that you take somebody's life.
Yeah,
that's what I know. If I got to defend myself, I'm definitely not shooting the wound because I ain't going to jail. Like, I'm not trying to defend myself.
You're right. If you
yeah.
got no insurance, you don't want to be having to argue with a family and whoever else, because more likely you're gonna find yourself on the short end of the stick.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Definitely the truth.
Yeah. Listen, again, you know what I'm gonna say, people. I ain't that good. When I do it, we're
yeah.
trying to stop. They're trying to stop the threat. So, however that shake out,
yeah.
if it's his big toe. That's his lucky day, because that damn show wasn't aiming
yeah.
for it.
No.
And you know, another thing, too, is how you
always, listen, for me,
how
I'm
you stand. Yeah, how you stand
no
toward
doubt.
That perpetrator, too. You don't want to give that perpetrator that big, wide mask. Give them that left shoulder. It's about 6 inches
yeah.
wide. It's a lot harder to hit. But if you turn it around chest first, well, even those fools that's out there with their guns sideways can get lucky.
That's a fact.
That's true.
All right, listen, folks, I'm going to hop off. Everybody have a blessed one.
Thank you, Cap, for calling
safe.
In. We appreciate you.
Oh, no, without a doubt. You know, support is support. I always say that. Y'all doing an amazing job. I got to remind myself when I hop off to come and hop on with you all so we can keep that going and stuff like that. And also, maybe on the next one, I may have you all on, maybe one of these Sundays, for you all to come on and talk about the show on the live.
We would love
so
that.
We can do
good.
It.
That's
love
good.
That.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That's good.
All right.
We would love that.
All right. All right,
Cap,
everybody stay safe, as always.
What you're doing, bro. Thank you.
All right.
Yep.
So,
I
know
we're
talking. Go ahead, Kia.
No. What were you about to say, Dwayne? Go ahead. We're going to stay on track. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, because you're not going to keep talking.
No, I was just thinking about the conversation he said about, you know, can you take a life? And that's one of the things I kind of opened my, you know, my class with. Like, hey, why are you here? You know, I always ask, why are you here? And letting people know that when you decide to walk out of your home with that gun on you, mm-hmm. right, you are pretty much ultimately making your decision. So you either either you're going to use it, right, or someone's going to take it and use it on you. So you have, I mean, really, you have to make a decision. If you're not going to use it, or if you feel uncomfortable using it, or you whatever, then you don't need to take it with you. Leave it home. And that's simply because there's too many instances of people getting their guns taken away from them and it being used on them. And I had some ladies in my class, they were about maybe a month or two ago, they were, like, frightened. And it's like every week I'm getting something from them, like, Miss Kia, look at my target. Look at my target. And they're practicing every week. They're concealing their guns. They're using them. You know, they're coming, you know, stuff like that. And that's what I want to see is more people not just coming to class, getting a conceal, posting the conceal carry. Oh, look what I got my conceal carry on Facebook, and then put the gun in the closet. Hopefully people can get to the point where they feel comfortable, because I carry my gun every day now. Like I did it, but now I'm conscious about, hey, when I walk out of this house, when I put my gun on and I'm walking out of my house, if it comes down to it, I will take a life if I have to. And that's the thing you have to know, that when you put that gun on and you walk outside of your home, then you are basically saying that, hey, if someone does something to me and it comes down to, you know, me having to take a life, I'm willing to do that.
Yeah.
For me personally, and this is just me, I completely agree with everything you're saying, but for me personally, the phrase taking a life, that, to me, I don't know, that just, and this is just me, I don't say it that particular way, because it just sounds like, you know, it just sounds like, it just saddens me that where we live in this kind of world, you know, that's a possibility, you know. So I always mentally, I know that why I walk around my firearm, and that's something that can possibly happen. I have to make sure I come to terms with that. But I like to, you know, again, this is me personally, I like to say things like, you know, defend myself to the fullest. And if that turns out to a life being taken, I have to come to terms with that. Because it's just so sad when you have to, you know, when we have to look at the world the way the world really is, right? Like when you take all those blinders and all the glitz and glamour and the glitter, and you see the world for what it really is today, it is so sad that we have to walk outside with a firearm for self-defense. You know, I don't know. I just had a moment, y'all. Just had a soapbox moment. I'm going to pass it back over to you. I know you were saying something.
I mean, you know me, Doc. Like... in the Marine Corps, I remember being in boot camp, and one of the first things, you know, other than, you know, they breaking us in, one of the first things we understood was that we were dedicating our lives to sacrifice. I know that sounds so crazy, but that's really the simplest way I could explain it. We knew that at any moment, once we left and we put on that patch that we were United States Marines, we at any given moment, we would either have to defend this country by taking life or give our lives doing so. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. So,
you know, being a firearm instructor, I still have to understand civilian mindset, but my mindset has been, you know, lack of a better word, transformed, that my thought pattern, I don't really give it much thought of whether it's sad or if you know, this world is jacked up. But we knew that when, you know what I'm saying, 10 years into life. You feel me?
Like, oh, yeah.
We knew that. So I don't really give too much thought on if I have to draw my weapon, I've made the decision that it's me. It's either you or me. So, you know, and I'm not knocking anybody on their values or how they feel about it. You know, I love Dwayne's heart. You feel what I'm saying? But Elliot, big brother, ain't like that. You feel me? Like, you know, my little brother Dwayne got more emotion and heart than I do. Elliot doesn't care.
Well, no,
don't
get it confused. Don't get it confused. I've already come to terms with
I'm not at all.
Protecting myself.
Is,
you know what I mean?
I know that
I'm definitely come to terms.
You going to do what you got to do. I know
he's
going to do what he has to do. But Dwayne will probably think more about it later than Elliot would. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I don't think about it.
I don't
like,
think
yo.
So, because for me, I was more talking along the lines of it's just crazy that we, you know, that we live in this kind of environment. Now, when it comes down to me protecting my family, no, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to,
nah,
my
yeah,
family.
I know you won't. I know you,
you
won't.
I'm not going to think of, I'm not going to let it keep me up. At least that's what I tell myself, right? I tell myself that
right.
My family is safe, and that's all that matters. You know, and I think that's what everybody do. We all tell ourselves, well, you know what, we're going to be like this. And at the end of the day, we don't know the reality is when we're in the moment, we're in the moment. But no,
yes,
dude, listen, family priority, number one. My number one goal as a dad, a brother, a husband, a son, is to protect a friend and just a good old neighbor is to protect. That's how I see it. Mostly my family, not necessarily
yeah.
my neighbors, but it's protect.
Well, anytime you live in a free nation like the United States is, of course, there's varying emphasis on that, on what people think. But you have to be able to defend. You know, one of the reasons, you know what the Japanese said after they bombed Pearl Harbor, suggesting, well, why don't we go on to the West Coast? And it was said that someone said that you don't want to do that because there's a gun behind every blade of grass. And that is just the reality. I was going to ask the brother that's a Marine, a farmer, was you ever in combat?
We were deployed for Kosovo, but we never actually got into, you know what I'm saying, having to engage the enemy. So, yeah.
And that was over there with the Serbians and
yeah, it was crazy. That whole situation was crazy.
Yeah.
But my unit we didn't have to engage.
Yeah. Well, war is a very horrible creature. I would there's many documentaries that's available on YouTube that I would advise or even show the people so that they can understand what war is about, going back as far back as the Revolutionary War and coming on up through World War One and World War Two, and also both theaters, whether it was the European theater or the Pacific theater. And let people see what it is to be fighting for a cause or freedom or whatever the cause may be. Hey, another thing,
right.
when you came out of the service, were you allowed to bring your weapon with you?
Nope.
Well, a lot has changed since World War II and the Korean War. Yeah.
That would have been awesome. I love that scene. I ain't going to lie to you. That was my girl.
You know, I did not know that. I did not know that when you came out of the military, you couldn't bring a service weapon with you.
Yeah,
that's definitely something
yeah.
I did not know.
Older service, yeah. It could. I know that some military guys, Special Force, Air Force guys, more recently, too, were allowed to, like, their sniper rifles that they had, you know, been on deployments with. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were allowed
yeah.
to. I don't know the process because I wasn't in the Army. I just know the story.
Yeah, see you learn so much from TV. I had all my knowledge from TV and video games. Then you get older, you get into this world, and you realize it's all fake.
You know, there's at least five cities in the United States where it's within the city ordinance that you have to have a weapon at home. I know
one
is Kennesaw, Georgia, which is about 40 miles out of Atlanta. Nelson, Georgia, Gun Barrel City, Texas. I like that name. And
I know, right?
One in Colorado also.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
The thing is that gets me is, you know, it's like the way I understood what you were saying about, you know, not taking life, but unfortunately, the harsh reality, right? And it's like even with my kid, I would love that. Like my first daughter, I was able to kind of shield her, even though her dad was going behind my back and doing it anyway. But, you know, that's another story. But anyway, but, you know, trying to shield her from the harshness of this world and the – and that's not good either. But it's like different things that you – we would love to be able to – but the truth of the matter is, and the harshness of the reality is that guess what? That's what it means. And it's like, you know, it's like I thought about what you – I was sitting there thinking about what you were saying, what you said about not wanting to say it that way. But when I'm talking to my students, especially when I'm talking to my students, a lot of them are not really taking it as, hey, I'm in – they're not taking it as, hey, I'm in this class to learn how to defend myself. And guess what that means? I may be taking a life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A lot of them feel like, oh, I'm in this class, I'm going to get a card, you know, and I can have my gun, you know. And that's like, no, you're in this class because you may have to take somebody's life. Hello, you know, wake up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so it, unfortunately, again, the harshness of, we would love to sugarcoat it, but unfortunately, we just can't.
Yeah, and I know that, and that's the part that chills me, is that is the reality, you know. And you know, I don't know if you all ever heard of the term Captain Save-A-Ho from back in the day. I used to say that a lot in New York. I was always that one guy or that one kid that I wanted to save the world, you know. And I think that's what got me into what I'm doing now, is that, you know, I want to change the narrative around, number one, black folks with firearms, because we have such a – the narrative is changing. Just when we take one step forward, something happens, and it seems like the media – puts us 10, 20 steps back. But the narrative is slowly changing, very, very slowly. But, you know, I want to help push that. But I just think you're right, Kia. You know, there's no need to sugarcoat it. I just hate the fact that that's the reality. And that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I like to keep it straight and real with my students as well, is that I always remind them, why are you here? I love that. I love the fact that that's how you open up your classes, is, why are you guys here? What's your real why? One of my slides on my PowerPoint is why. Why are you here? The reality is, don't tell me that you're here because you want to buy that cool Glock or that cool whatever gun you're getting. You don't need this class for that. You're here because you want to defend yourself, period. And that is the reality. And what does that reality look like? You're going to see a threat. You're going to draw your firearm. Hopefully your training kicks in. And you don't end up in condition black where you freeze. So hopefully your training kicks in to where you become fine motor tools and you can draw and have a good solid grip so your gun don't go flying out your hand. But you're going to defend yourself, which more than likely will lead up to deadly force. You know, we're not saying aim for the leg. We're not saying aim for the arm. We're not saying do movie magic and shoot the gun out your hand. That's movie magic. You know, we're saying aim center mass because the thing is to stop the threat. And if leading up to
100%.
Death is what stops the threat, hey, it's better, unfortunately, not unfortunately, for it is better them than you. You know, because
and
you
that's
have
the reality, like I told you, like even through boot camp, man, you know what I'm saying? You don't really think, you know what I'm saying? Like, for real, you never think. It's not until you get deployed. You feel me? When we were heading over, that's when it hit me like, oh, my God. You feel what I'm saying? Like, yo,
yeah,
we really about to have to go over here and cause some havoc. You feel what I'm saying? So
you don't really
think about it. And we're talking about civilians who are coming into a class and they just want to be able to have the means to defend themselves. They're not even thinking about training, you know. They ain't thinking about no extra training. You know, I just want to have it. I mean, I have students that I still have to check on, and they still don't carry their firearm with them. Like, yo, it's been almost a year, and y'all still don't carry your firearm with you? Oh, I just don't be thinking about it, okay? But somebody said it, or was it Cap earlier tonight, that today could be that day. You know what I'm saying?
It could be that day, yeah. Got to come to terms with that.
Yeah, and people have to go to the range often also to keep tuned. And someone was talking earlier about their son, 27. you, the parent, should know when it's about time for your child to get involved with weapons. And you never want to let them, you never want to turn them off by themselves, turn them loose by themselves, where they go to a gun shop and they say, well, you like this one, so on, so on, so on. No, you get some expert advice and let them try. I've seen women out the firing range, and they are holding a beast that they can't handle in their hand. It damn near flips them over backwards when they fire. And it's too big. And also, some of these 380s, some women can't rack them because they're small. You don't have anything to grab a hold to. And the woman herself is weak in the arms and in the hands. So all those things have to be taken into consideration, even preparation as far as getting yourself physically fit in those areas where you're going to be handling that weapon.
Wow. Yeah.
No doubt.
All right, so hold on. We got another caller. Hold on 1 second. Welcome to Point Blank.
Boy, I was hoping you were going to get to me. I thought I was going to run out of time. I was late. The traffic was unbelievable. I was trying to get home in time to talk to you guys. But I really enjoyed listening to your take on these things. I mean, you guys really do a great job of covering this stuff because it's mental preparation is important as the actual shooting. And one thing I would like to simply inform you of, any firearms that are inventoried for use by any branch of the Armed Forces of the United States, any branch, can only be disposed of once they leave military service by the General Services Administration. No firearm can be disposed of other than issued to authorized personnel or for training or for evaluation or whatever. Not even the service branches are allowed to do that. It has to be done. It's going to be sold to a private party or overseas or whatever. It's got to go through the General Services Administration first. Now, there's one exception to this, and that is if you become a general officer. In accordance with Army Regulation 725-1, any person who is nominated to be a general officer in the United States Army is currently issued an M17-18 Sig Sauer modular handgun as their personal weapon. And upon their retirement from the service in the rank of general, they are allowed to purchase it from the Army. And they can keep it as their very own weapon. But that's the only exception I know of. So you can't take it. I don't care who has it. If it's in the inventory of the armed services, the only officially authorized agency that can dispose of it is the General Service Administration once it's been turned over to them and every weapon has to be accounted for. So
when did that stop, Sarge?
Was that the Korean War? Pretty much been the case since, I don't know, certainly since the end of the Civil War. That's government property. I know a lot of guys will take home, like during World War II, it was common for guys to take an M1 rifle apart in pieces or a carbine or even a submachine gun or a VAR, and they'd ship it home piece by piece. But that was theft. You could get in a lot of trouble if you got caught.
Yeah.
It was built for theft.
Yeah.
And sometimes the Army might even turn a blind eye to some of it, particularly if it's like foreign weapons that were captured. Because when they captured foreign weapons, well, that's property of the United States government. When you capture like an MG-42 or something or a Mauser 98K and, you know, you turn it in, as part of battlefield trophies, well. But they did have a law allowing soldiers to take home battlefield trophies that weren't National Firearms Act weapons, you know, like automatic weapons, like they were semi-automatic or bolt-action rifles or handguns, they would allow back then before they stopped it, and they did stop it after Vietnam, they would allow soldiers to take home war trophies. They had to declare them. They had to go fill out the right paperwork and all that. I almost took home an SKS from Vietnam, but I just wanted to get out. I didn't want to stick around and fill the paperwork. I just went home. I wish I had done it now. But but still, they stopped that pretty much after the Vietnam War. Now, any gun that belongs to the armed forces, it stays with the armed forces unless it's released to the General Services Administration for some sort of deposition. And when you all were talking about taking a life and all of that, now last week we talked about this, and I know I sounded kind of bloodthirsty, I think, now that I look back on it. I didn't mean to. Maybe some people might think I sounded kind of bloodthirsty. But look, here's what I would do to kind of give my students an out when I was a firearms instructor. I would say, look, the reason you're employing deadly force is because that is the force most likely to stop an imminent deadly physical threat in progress. It is more important that you stop the threat by using the deadly force than it is that you kill the offender and the offender is able to continue doing what they're doing and then they die later. It's better that you stop them and wound them than it is that you shoot them fatally, but it doesn't stop them immediately, and they continue doing whatever they're doing. They put you in peril in the first place. So I would tell them, look, you're not shooting to kill. And if you wish to stay out of legal trouble, you almost never say you're intending to kill the person. You are using deadly force, and that force may result in their death. And if it's justified, that's okay. So I would tell them, look, if you want to soothe your conscience, and to the extent that you're not saying, well, I'm not really trying to take a human life, I'm trying to stop a deadly threat, fine. As long as you understand, that's what you must do. You must stop that threat, and you must use as many rounds as is necessary to neutralize and stop that threat. So, you know, I think that's a way to make people maybe be a bit more at ease with it. I don't know. For some people, it probably worked. Some, it didn't make any difference at all. I don't know. But I would tell them, as a legal matter, you know, you're more concerned with stopping a threat. You're not really interested in killing anyone if you don't have to. What you want to do is stop them, and if what you do results in their death, so bloody well be it. But, you know, the
some
point
people
is,
don't understand. Some people don't understand how adrenaline works, too. Because I've seen YouTube videos of a female cop, and this is a white guy, a white female cop, and he had a knife. Matter of fact, he just got through attacking an elderly male. And he started off at least 25 feet, maybe 30 feet from her, coming toward her. She pulled her revolver. No, it wasn't a revolver. It was a service piece. I think she shot him at least 9, 11 times. And he dropped at her feet with that knife in hand.
Yeah. I saw that, too. I think that's the same video they played for us in the class, E.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that was crazy.
It's just like hunting a deer. You shoot a deer, you don't get up and go chase him. You go wait a while because he's going to go lay down and bleed out. But if you chase him, they'll chase you clean into the next state. It never die, seem like.
Yeah,
you chase it clean into the next state.
I think the biggest thing, though, as an instructor today, is that, you know, these laws are, you know, they are kind of written, you know, to a certain extent to protect even the threat. You feel what I'm saying? And we know that we want to shoot until the threat stops. But unfortunately, and I'm sure that there are cases, I know Sarge has heard of this, where people have been able to sue because they, you know, were shot or injured, you know what I'm saying, while attempting a crime, you know what I mean? And they were able to sue the person defending themselves, you know? So it's really crazy, you know, and that this is where we are, that we want to defend ourselves, but yet if I shoot you in the leg as a possibility, I'm going to do time, more time than what you're going to do, and you were trying to bring harm to my family. So
it's
just crazy.
It's funny you said that, Elliot. Because I had a student on my last concealed carry class, and we were talking about that. And she said, oh, I'm not going to leave a witness. And then what she said is so matter-of-factly. I was like,
I wouldn't say that out loud.
That's what she's her answer. When we were talking about, you know, hey, you know, this thing can happen. These are things that can happen. And we've gotten to the. She said, oh, I'm not going to leave a witness.
I would not. You would advise her not to say things like that out loud. That's not a good idea.
Yeah. But it was still funny because she understood.
Yeah, but are you? I know you guys are familiar with the Tueller drill, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we used to run the toilet drill quite often. I tell my students to turn their backs to a suspect. I'd put a person of normal adult male of normal speed, normal health, normal levels of fitness. I position them 21 feet away. And I tell them, okay, they have their cleared firearm in their holster with their back to the individual. I say, okay, he's going to charge you. He's going to attempt to slap you on your shoulder or in your chest. You are going to try to get your weapon out of your holster, draw on him, and pull the trigger before he can do it. You realize that in over 50% of the cases, the officer was not able to complete the draw and pull the trigger before that individual could close 21 feet on him. And I said, now just think
that
was
sure
a knife.
Are you sure it was higher than that, Sarge?
Are
you sure the percentage was higher? I said, are you
50%.
Sure that percentage wasn't a little higher?
Oh, well, look, hey, it was a sobering thought for most of them. They didn't they said 21, that's 21 feet is 7 yards.
Yes, yeah, 7 yards.
Oh, I can get my gun out and shoot somebody, but they can come,
No, you can't.
Don't count on it.
When you bring that up, sorry. I did that at a class. Me and Kat with BBI, we did a class a couple of weeks ago. And we did that in the class. And because I told him, I said, look, 21 feet, FBI said 1.5. That's the state. That's considered your state space. But a grown person can clear that in 1.5 seconds. You're not going to have time to draw that firearm and get on target. Draw that firearm. Get perfect grip. Get the sights aligned. All nice and perfect. Perfect stance, equal height, you know, all that other good stuff. And like you said, That's 7 yards. I can clear that. I'm confident.
Let me ask you a question. And I've heard answers. I know what I would do. If you got somebody that's 27 yards from you and they're slowly walking to you, what do you tell them?
Been there, done that. Believe me, I know what happened. It was one of the most sobering experiences of my police career. I'll tell you what I did. Look. I was going into the Thompson Center in Chicago. That was the state headquarters building in Chicago where they got all kind of Illinois state agencies. And as I was going into the door, a woman came up to me and tugged on my sleeve and said, you see that man over there? She pointed to a man who was kind of looking at me and kind of turning his head away from me real quick. He stole my purse from me last week. And I said, what? He said, yeah, that's him? I said, yeah. I said, hey, sir, stop. I want to talk to you. He took off running. So I chased him, and I chased him down to Cooktown. He's got a building with a parking garage. I chased him down in the parking garage. And I had lost sight of him. Now, I knew there was only one exit from the floor we were on. So I couldn't see him standing, so I figured he was hiding underneath one of the cars. So I started looking up under the cars because I hadn't heard the exit door slam or closed or open or anything. So I knew he had to be under one of those cars in the parking lot. So finally I see his feet sticking out. I got Mr. 9mm out in my hand. And I'm pointing at him, telling him to come out there slowly because I was at his feet. And I said, crawl backwards while I'm in the car. Keep your hands where I can see them. And I gave him further instructions. And as he comes out from under the car, he looks like he's complying. Now I've got 7 or 8 yards away from him. 7 or 8 yards away from him. And I tell him to stop right there, and he starts walking toward me. I'm saying, stop, don't move. I haven't searched this guy yet. I don't know whether he's armed or not. I don't know anything about him. In fact, he ran from me, and the woman had fingered him as a strong-arm robber, which means he's a felon. Okay? Now, he's walking him. I said, stop, don't move. I got Mr. 9mm right on his chest. And he's steady walking to him. He said, man, I ain't did nothing. I said, stop, don't move. Man, I ain't did nothing. Now I got one or two choices. I can either plug this guy, because I think he's tried about to get me and try to disarm me, or I can try to take him hand to hand. I elected for the latter. I holstered my weapon. Me and him went in hand to hand, and I took him down. Later on, when I got him in the interrogation room, I asked him, man, I was about a hair's breadth away from dropping a hammer on your ass. Why didn't you stop when I told you to? And he said, man, I thought I could get your gun and get away. I wasn't going to shoot you or nothing, man, you know, but I thought I could take it and get away from you.
Oh, wow.
I'm just telling you, see, things like that, you got to take a choice. He was intending to disarm me, which would have been justification for me to use deadly force had he made a credible attempt to do so. But I had to make the call. One way or the other, and I'm not going to tell anybody in a situation like that what's right or wrong. But I'll tell you one thing, I would not have been wrong to drop the hammer on him, but how the hell would I have known until he actually did it?
Well, thank you guys so much. We're down to our last 3 seconds. Thank you for joining Point Blank this week, and we'll see you guys same time next week.
Boom.